Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everybody. It's time for Training Sex Talk. And it's your co-host, Nancy Monroe, with Allison Black. Absolutely. Woo. They're psyched. They're so excited. Yep. Yeah, well, maybe they know it's the weekend before Valentine's Day.
We're all excited about Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I was just talking to my daughter. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah, it's because you've been married a long time.
Yeah, it's like, well.
So Stephen Colbert was saying.
Oh, is that what he was saying?
Yeah, he's like, he's taking his kids skiing and his wife's going to her family and I'm going to be together on Valentine's Day.
Well, he can wish his children a happy Valentine's Day.
Yep.
So speaking of things happening, trends, you know, I thought this would be a good time to talk about the top nine. This is not my list. There's the top nine call center trends for 2016 because, you know, we're not too far into the year yet. You know,
yeah.
And I thought we better start down this path of giving people a chance to get up to speed on these trends before we get too deep into the year.
Absolutely.
And so if you could guess what the number one, or just give me one trend you think is on this list.
I'm guessing simulation training.
No, it's not actually. But really? We'll make sure it is a trend. We will change that. We'll add it to the list.
Attitude? Yeah, you're right.
No, you're wrong. We will get that added to the list. But
okay,
I got to open up this other link to get all of the trends. But the top one is multi-channel. So do you understand what that means?
No.
So
did it sound like I did, or did it sound like I was faking? Because I was big time faking.
You're like, oh, you're faking. Yeah, you're an actor.
Yeah,
so you're.
Nah,
you know,
but still.
So multi-channel is. Let's say I'm at a call center and I'm responding to chat, phone, email, social media, you know, so you have to have a way for, and we've talked about it before, the cross-training side of this. And that,
yep. When you said that, I went, oh, you're right. That is the thing I really love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's teach people all the different options.
Well, and it's because customers are using, this is according to Forrester, 95% of customers use more than one channel to communicate with companies. While Accenture reported 65% of customers are frustrated by inconsistent experiences, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, so maybe you go to the website, doesn't seem as informative, but, you know, like GoDaddy, they're a good example. I mean, you go to their website, it's almost too much information. But when you call in, I've always had a good experience with somebody within the first call. Typically, I get what I need.
Right.
And they're able to respond. They seem knowledgeable. They're well-trained. And so you've got email, call center, mobile and web, social media, live chat. So that's the multi. So that's this rat's nest that every company's got to start thinking about. You know, it's like, well, where do we put our money? How do we train people for this? How do we find talent that can manage all this? And so part of what's driving that is the second trend is the cloud will reign supreme because it's cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to incorporate these different channels of communication. People are doing it because the consumers are pushing the need. So this says more than half of the global 1,000 companies will store sensitive customer information within the cloud. So
ooh, that's
this is also
security.
Yeah, so this is causing another trend, security, but also redundancy plans are going to be easier. You're not worrying about a physical box sitting in some corner in your office.
You're saving a heck of a lot in IT costs, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. Well, I was just going through a contract with a new company that's a Fortune 100, and they said, well, what's your redundancy plan? I said, well, it's Amazon's redundancy plan, so whatever theirs is mine. <You know>? So he said, so if your servers go down, I said, there is no server in Chicago. It's everywhere. So fear not, you know, unless something catastrophic just happens to the interweb itself, you know, that it's just, and it's cheaper. Cost of storage has come down. You know, and so a lot of, you know, we started with an IVR, if by phone, what, 5-6 years ago, and that was one of the first, well, I wouldn't say it for the first, but it was one of the first that was in the cloud, you know, allows for all this flexibility of things being all digital. And so that goes nicely, eases right into the next trend of customers want to help themselves. I do. I got really upset when my grocery store removed the self-checkout cash registers. I was really pissed. I'm like, what the heck? I don't want to wait on somebody else to check me out. And I don't know why they did that. It was just, it's like, what are you doing? There's more people putting, you know, Walmarts and Targets are putting in self-checkout registers, and you're putting taking them out and putting in people.
Yeah, you know, you should have had a taken a meeting with like the manager of the store. That would
I'd
love to have been there for
doing?
That.
What are you doing? And then when I go there, I can't get out. A lot of times I go there because my bank's there too. If I'm just doing banking, I can't just slip by one of those counters, checkout counters, because a lot of times they're not backed with people and grocery carts and, you know, bodies. I can just slip out. But no, I can't even get through the short checkout line now because it's backed up with 6-7 people. Somebody did not think that through.
No, so. And they use the blocking of the unattended registers as a way to funnel, you know, it's like a loss control thing is what it feels like. So you can't escape the store with a stolen purchase.
That's right. I will purposely not shop here because I can't get out when I'm just handling a simple transaction. So
Right.
But, you know, and I obviously this is a trend at all the different trade shows that I go to, even IBM. One of the speakers from IBM was saying, you know, every organization should have some form of multi-tiered services so that, how did he put it? He says, so if I want self-serve, first of all, it's just getting information. People can get information on their own. Boom. It's there. But then if I want to either get a version of your product or service, is there a way to self-serve? And the more complex the buying process is, the more human intervention you're going to have. But this is in the last 5 years alone, customer preferences for automated self-service has doubled to 55%. And Gartner predicts that by the year 2020, customers will manage 85% of the relationship without any human interaction at all. Wow.
And when we do have human interaction, it better be nice.
It better be good.
And helpful.
Exactly. That's why we put together our little inside sales calculator, your verbal transaction calculator. Because, you know, you don't think about, and I have asked every audience I've given my presentation to on how your voice can make or break the sale. And I say, how many of you calculate the value of every conversation you have? Only once did one hand actually go up. And I was shocked. I'm like, how are you people managing inside salespeople if you've never calculated the value of every conversation? That just seems like common sense to me.
Right.
But whatever. So now they're more aware of it. So they do have a nice infographic in this report, and I'll post a link to this information. But it has like the rise of self-service support. Providing self-service support went from 40, 45, 91%. So again, back to the first customer communication channels, all of those have to kind of lead down the same path. You know, if I'm on Twitter and there's something there and I click on it, where am I going to go? Am I going to go to your website, a landing page, a chat room, whatever? You know, so that's even more important that those things are very intuitive. So I also see a trend in user interface jobs going up.
As in people who design user interfaces?
Yeah. I've run into more people with that title lately than I can remember in my entire professional career. Because of this, you have to have a very nuanced, user-friendly interface to anything, mobile, online. What's the other?
Nuclear plants.
Yes. Don't push this button.
Well, I mean, I'm getting kind of out of, on a limb there, but Donald Norman was brought in to, he helped design a lot of very friendly graphical user interfaces, and he teaches design of those things so that it's intuitive. And he did spend some time on the, oh, some of the big reactor failures and why and what happened and how similar.
Uh-huh.
You start looking at the
uh-huh.
boards and you're like, oh, my God, how easy it was to push the wrong button.
Yeah. Well,
or misread it.
Temple Grandin, who's
yes, right.
famous, right? She,
yeah.
She said, I saw her speak, and I have to say, if you ever get a chance to see her speak, go. She's one of the best speakers. You know, you think, oh, she has autism, it's going to be awkward.
How could she
no.
be, right? But no,
quite,
she
quite
have
the
to
opposite. Finish. Quite the opposite. She said she saw the Japanese nuclear plant disaster coming. She said, I saw where it was, where it was located, it's by water. You know, just asking to be hit by a hurricane or whatever that was.
Right.
But she literally sees differently in her head because of her, I won't call it a disability, her ability to see things differently. And she even had a
yeah.
map of her brain. We're getting off track, but her brain, it was a, what do you call those scans? CAT scan of her brain
mm-hmm.
and how it was wired differently and how she makes connections. And so that user interface, so she designed the cattle shoots and all that, but she got into designing movie sets, and now she's designing other things because she can see things that we necessarily can't just because of the way our wires are mixed.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's going to be a trend. You know, you have to simplify things. You have to keep it, when you hit it, you know, and we're guilty of this too. I mean, people still go to our website and say, no, what is it you do, or what is this tool? And I'm thinking, ugh, how could you not? Watch the video. Watch the video.
Right.
I told you exactly
right.
what it is. Okay, so where were we? Customers help themselves. So number four,
yeah,
video
use
chat.
Interfaces.
Will,
mm-hmm.
Yep, video chat will get more FaceTime. Now, I'm thinking that that's going to be a little bit slower trend, but I will say, what is this new
you
app that I...
You said video chat, or did you just say regular chat?
Video chat.
I don't want video chat.
I don't either. We have
it takes
to try
up
this
too
someday.
Much bandwidth, and the payoff, with it, unless you're dealing with your parents or your family, to me, is it's gratuitous.
Yeah, I don't want to... I want to remain as anonymous as possible if I'm getting tech support or something like that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't need to know you're in your
no.
pajamas or not. I don't care.
No, no. It says that video chat is reportedly handling less than 2.2% of contact center traffic, but forward-thinking companies such as Shuh, S-C-H-U-H, I don't know what that is, and Amazon have already developed video as part of their customer service strategy. And I can see where, you know, WebRTC, that we're, you know, we've been using that in some testing. It is
mm-hmm.
video too. We just don't use video, but it is video. So the cost of this will come down. It already has. There's another tool out there, other than, you know what Periscope is.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
The next one I want to try is Blab. Have you heard of that?
No.
Blab is like a form of Periscope, but you can have up to four people on the video simultaneously.
Oh, so you get a channel that looks like four screens, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
MSNBC talking to
and then,
four...
And then they can see you, like everybody... I don't know if there's just one person can see if you type in a question. I don't know if they can, all the people that are on camera can see that, or just one. Because I could see somebody...
Hmm.
When I jumped into the room, I saw them look down at a certain part of their screen because I could see their eyes tracking. And, oh, it was the Whiskey on Fridays Blab room.
It was what?
It was called Drinking Whiskey on Fridays.
Oh, ooh.
And they were all sitting there with a little glass of whiskey. And I typed in, oh, dang, I forgot my whiskey. And they replied back, oh, go get it. And I said, well, I got to run. I just was curious about this. What's going on in this Blab room? So it's blab, B-L-A-B dot I-M. And so you can log in either on your mobile device or online. So I want to see if the Whiskey Fridays is still, let's see. I'll do this. Anyway, so this is video. So this is driving, I think what they're getting is video is becoming more and more commonplace. And so that's the kind of the expectation is it's going to fall into tech support and all those things. So anyway, so that's, let's see. Let me see if I can search for blam. Blam.
Blam.
Scheduled. Blam. Oh, here it is. Search whiskey. I'm just going to type in Whiskey Friday. Starting a movement and creating a tribe. Whiskey Friday, episode 13. Yep, so it's a thing. anyway, I'm definitely going to check that out.
I know what's happening when we get done here. You're calling on. You're loading up your glass and calling on.
Well, I'm actually out of whiskey, so I can't. Maybe I'll just drink tea in a glass that looks like whiskey.
What?
That's
not the same.
Anyway, moving on. Number five. Social media is synonymous with customer support. So it goes both ways, though. I think what they're saying is, are you using social media to rate your support? So it says, go where your customers are has never been truer than today. Customers expect to find business on social networks, no exceptions. While only 3% of companies communicate on social media, it doesn't stop customers from voicing dissatisfaction through these networks. So now a new study by New Voice says 59% of 25 to 34-year-olds share poor customer experiences online. Well, duh. Through contact center solutions like those provided by Aspect and Avaya, agents are now empowered to track and reply to any query sent to them via social media. However, this does require social media strategy that is focused on both customer engagement and creating personalized experiences. So that's what I was getting at. It has to go both ways. You have to be participating and engaging people via social media to kind of be out there to catch those things, to respond to them, but not only be there to catch things to respond to. Does that make sense?
No. So let's, and this was the panic
when blogs started to come out. I was at some, I don't know, some networking thing that was talking about, well, if we let people blog and then people comment on our blog, people are going to go run amok. What if they say bad things about us? And I was just looking at them like, well, then fix it. You know, if they do say bad things about you, that's at least you're becoming more aware. You're becoming customer-centric. And
right.
you can always delete it, you know, if you have, you know, make sure you're using something that allows you to, you know, if it's something that's very destructive and is intentionally facetious, you can destroy it. But by not giving, but only being there to catch things being said about you, poor things, not good things, and not and then sharing. How are people using our product? How, you know, what's some tips of the day? I mean, just being in social media with content to prove that you're sincerely engaged and part of that community first. Second is to then respond to something that might be happening with your product or service that's being shared via social media. That's what I mean.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And again, it does require you to put some thought into that. You have to tie it into your other marketing strategies. You know, when you've got a trade show going on and you're not tweeting about it, or if you're not at a trade show taking pictures and posting them via social media, that's not leveraging what you should be doing with social media for other marketing PR type situations. Make sure the lines of communication are open between all of that stuff. Whoever your social media director is or communications director, they need to know that if you're going to start letting call center agents respond to those, you better have some training that goes with that. Okay, so number six, customers will not wait on hold anymore. I was a victim of this.
Tell that to my health insurance company. Oh my God.
Tell it to the bank I was calling yesterday.
I was on hold. Hour plus.
Oh my gosh. That's awful.
Yeah. It's so bad they tell you at the beginning. The hold times will be in excess of 50 minutes.
Oh, no. Well, why don't they, so here's, I know a couple technology companies I use, they already put this in place. They say if you would like us to call you back.
Take them up on it.
Yeah, do it. What does it say here? New Voice found that 25% of customers switch companies because they were tired of being on hold, while 76% of adults so that just one unpleasant contact center experience was likely to make them take their business elsewhere. I hope you people are listening to this, that it's just completely ridiculous. Bank of America, or not Bank of America, BMO Harris Bank. Mm.
Land of Lincoln Healthcare.
And we'll put it in social media, too, where we're at it.
Absolutely. It's true. Yeah. It's really, really true.
Well, it says
I just watched actually a sitcom where they made fun of it, and the entire show, two characters were waiting on hold, and what they were doing to screw around while waiting to get the phone company to answer them. Hilarious.
Yeah, so this is in a recent report by Contact Babble, which is kind of an interesting name. Of 212 contact center managers surveyed, 22% worked for an organization that offered a callback option. So this is growing from, this is on the growth chart from previous years. So that's good to hear, because I'll tell you what, there's no reason why you can't have that today. I can't imagine what incremental cost this would add to somebody's existing call center operations.
You're still waiting in the queue. It just calls you instead of you waiting in the queue.
Right.
Or I have to say, I know a lot of people don't care for Comcast, but they are doing a really nice thing where you can schedule to have somebody call you at a certain time. Hey, can you call me at 2:15 on Thursday? Sure. And heck, they call you at 2:15 on Thursday.
And that's the way to go. Okay, so number 7, big data as a secret weapon.
Mm-hmm. Big data.
So big data, yeah. You're like that character on In the Middle. Big data. He, you know, whispers to himself. Well, big data has been around. And so thank you, Brenda. We have Brenda listening.
Big data.
Big data.
Rolling.
So the secret weapon, though, is kind of where we're going with our speech transcriptions and our emotion analytics, which isn't on here, but they say Gartner, for instance, shows that 73% of organizations either have invested in or have plans to be using big data by 2016. And I think people are misusing the term big data.
Right.
I personally think, you know, big data has been here forever. I don't know why, like data scientists, that role, it's like, oh, I'm a data scientist. You're an IT person? Is that what you're saying? Okay, whatever.
Business analyst? What's the term?
Yeah. Do you wear a lab coat? You know, I want to see your I want to see your lab scientist. I want to see your degrees. It's just the study of data.
I always laughed when I said I was a systems engineer, because I was, according to Microsoft. But really, engineer?
I don't know.
Bit of a misnomer there, in my opinion.
Exactly. And so what they're saying is, in fact, 55% of managers see call/contact monitoring as the best way to gain customer feedback. Deloitte reports that 87% of managers plan to extend their levels of reporting and analytics this year. So HP put together this nice little infographic about, and I've been saying this for how many years now, the conversations that are going on within your organization, either internally or externally, nobody's minding that. You have hours, hundreds of thousands of millions of hours of this call may be recorded for training purposes, and nobody's doing anything with it. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, what are you doing, people? So now, just this week, I have two projects. Somebody sent me some samples of their recorded audio. They want us to transcribe it, and they want us to run it through emotion analytics.
Awesome.
And I'm thinking, finally, somebody's getting this.
Is it recent data? Like, we're not going back to 2012.
Well, that's just it. I mean, right now, if somebody is recording call centers that record do it to spot check a lot of times and for compliance purposes. But it's after the fact. They might be spot checking 2, 3, 4 weeks and getting back to that employee, say, hey, on this day with this call, this happened, and here's your feedback. Why can't you do that in real time?
Right.
So there's ways. So we're suggesting you do it in real time. Either look for keywords or do the emotion analytics so that some dashboard starts to say, oh, what's going on here? You've got this conversation that's been going on for 20 minutes, and it's escalating. Somebody get in there. Now, there are systems that can do that. They're probably still kind of expensive, I would say. So we're going to be doing it in a phased approach where we'll say, let's take your recorded content almost in real time, transcribe it, put it into your CRM system. Then if you want to do some kind of filtering by keywords, there's some kind of dashboard tool that lets you do that. But then the emotion analytics is almost in real time. So let somebody do a quick dashboard view graphically of where not only your agents, where are their emotions, but customers now. So we can capture the emotions in your voice just from the sound of your voice. And so if at that buying stage or at that touch point, what is the emotion? Because people buy on emotions. And I've been trying and trying and trying to get people to buy into this concept of I have this ability. And I didn't build it. You know, we're just partnering with people that built it. But this ability exists today. Why aren't you measuring people's voices at the point that they're buying something or wanting to return something or shut your service off? I mean, if they could only measure my voice when I try to disconnect from my satellite service. They call them from the customer retention person.
Yeah.
That's their title. They were not successful, but it took almost a half an hour of back and forth talking with this person to get rid of the account. And it was so frustrating.
Wow.
It's maddening. And I think there's a famous recording of somebody trying to leave Comcast and the same thing's happening to them. So, again, keep these things in mind, you know, as you're building your data. You know, what are you doing? Because the next question out of my mouth was, well, if we can transcribe this and give you this, what are you going to do with it?
Right.
Are you going to act upon it? Are you going to look for trends in the data? Are you going to look for patterns so that, as I share in a lot of the webinars that I do, a couple insurance companies got wise to this and they realized, this one said, oh, if somebody, you know, if I'm going to call in to buy car insurance and I say, what's the make and model of your car? Earlier in the conversation, they converted that person to a sale 80% of the time. But they never would have known that through just casual conversation, talking to people that
right.
you know, handle those calls. They had to pull it from thousands and thousands of conversations to see, oh, here's a pattern. You know, if this was brought up earlier in the conversation, look at that. Somehow we got them as a customer. I don't know why. It's just a fact. Okay, so in our last couple of minutes here, number 8. Mobile will hit its peak. 90 seconds. Mobile customer care will surge in 2016. Now, I don't know how they say it's going to hit its peak. They're showing a decline. I doubt it. Total mobile payment transactions will reach, maybe the highest, $27.05 billion, with users spending an average of $721 annually per transaction.
Wow.
I don't think that'll be the peak, though. The increase for mobile search and payments will require a more integrated mobile support. So they're saying we need to build a bigger infrastructure because we're going to max it out. And number 9, agents are empowered to aim higher. Forrester Research reveals that only 31% of businesses actively monitor their customer service interactions last year. Wow. This number seems low. I agree, given that 89% of customers will leave a business if provided with poor experience.
Wow.
So, again, these KPIs, key performance indicators, and that's what I tell people. Right in our call center simulator, you can build the simulations to measure all of those KPIs. If I'm moving too slow through the screens, if I'm not saying the right thing in the right sequence, if I'm not saying it in the right tonality, if I'm clicking on the wrong button and I have to go back 2 buttons. I mean, all of those things, that you're measuring in a KPI can be built into the simulator. So why aren't you using it, people? They will.
Right.
That'll be the next trend. But so that's it. I'm going to put a link to this on our website. So if you go to knowledgeshift.net and go to the blog, it should be there by tomorrow, so February 13th, if you want to download a copy of this for yourself. And so I think our audience is ready to hit the road. Maybe they're going to go to the Blab Whiskey Fridays now that I've revealed this this new technology that's out there. And but I think we should have our show in Blab one day in the very near future.
I think that's
future.
A great idea.
And then we can blab about it to others.
We shall.
And it's free. And it's free.
Woo!
Woo! All right, that wraps up another show. So thank you for joining me, Allison, and thank you,
thank
listeners.
Thank you, Nancy. Ah, take care. Yep.
This Father's Day, pro-grade power tools are within dad's reach and yours at the Home Depot, where right now your choice of select pro-grade Milwaukee Red Lithium tools are only $99 each. Drill drivers, impact drivers, lithium-ion batteries, and more. Want to treat dad like a pro? Give him power tools pros use. Select Red Lithium power tools from Milwaukee, just $99 each. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details, valid through June 20th.